We're going to be looking at a topic this morning that I thought was very appropriate for the time of year that we're in, or the time of the of life that we're in, I guess you'd say. Tomorrow, Monday, October the 13th, marks a special day for some people. It's a holiday known as Columbus Day, but it also marks 250 years of United States Naval Service. 1775, October the 13th, two ships were purchased to meet the British Army, the British Naval, the British Navy, and the United States Navy was established 250 years ago. And ever since then, there's been an effort for readiness to protect against invaders that might come, to go on offensive in cases where we need to go to battle. And it wouldn't take much convincing you, I don't think, or any of you, that the U.S. Navy still today goes through, and all of our military for that matter, goes through quite rigorous training. All of our branches of military do this to get themselves ready for the dangers that they might face. And of course, we hope that they don't have to face these dangers, but the likelihood that they will face these dangers prompts them to train. It prompts them to exercise drills and do things over and over and hours again, spending countless hours being taught and trained and executing readiness drills to make sure that they're ready to face the challenges that they will face, that they're likely to face. One of the drills that we did, and I'm sure Ken will know some of these, but one of the drills that I was involved in was the man overboard drill. The man overboard drill is where someone falls into the ocean, off of the ship maybe, and a boat is lowered into the water and you go and recover the person that fell off of the ship. And we did this drill day after day after day when we were at sea. And it wouldn't matter if we did this thing 100 times in a row, exactly perfect. We did it again. We did it again. And we did it again, over and over and over. Why? So that we exercised that drill in readiness, so that we were ready in case something was to happen. The last thing that we needed to know, or that we needed to happen, was that someone fall off of the ship and was drowning in the water, and we had to go find a manual so we could read it to figure out how to lower a boat in the water. By the time we got that read, it's too late. It's too late. And the same should apply to us as Christians. We should be equipping ourselves and teaching ourselves and training ourselves to be ready to face the things that we're told that we are going to face. Ready to face the dangers that might be out there. Ready to handle those things that will come upon us in our lives. We can't wait until the danger is here and it is at hand to get our manual out and figure out what to do. We're going to talk about basic training this morning. Spiritual readiness. Basic training. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Pardon me. We've got to be ready to face the wiles that the devil will throw at us, just as our wonderful U.S. military at times is. We're at war. And the passage that we just looked at describes some of the things that we use in our war against evil, against the wickedness that will come at us from the devil, the things that we are to stand against. We need to be in constant readiness, and if we're not trained and equipped in how to use this armor and the things that it discusses here, and we have to get our manual out and figure out how we put this helmet on and how we use this shield and how we take our sword and all these other things, it's going to be too late. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. We need to be ready, don't we? We need to be trained. We need to be equipped. And we need to exercise those things and train on those things that we learn from God's Word. We need to, in order to be ready, the first thing, we have to study our user manual, don't we? We have to study the Bible. We have to study God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. We have to be ready. We've got to study the scriptures, the holy inspired word of God. We have to commit the doctrine of God's word to our remembrance, so that when it comes and the opportunity that comes to avoid temptation, to avoid danger, to help someone in need, or whatever opportunity that might be, we're ready to handle it. Situations and opportunities will arise, and we need to be ready. And if we don't do this, and we wait until the danger arrives to get the Bible out, we may miss that opportunity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those are all opportunities, aren't they? And it says, be instant, or be ready, so that instantly you know what to do. You're able to take a hold of that opportunity and do those things that need to be done. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's ready on your mind. If we really love the Lord and want to keep his commandments and refrain from sin, we have to study the scriptures so that we're able to know what it is that God wants us to be doing, what it is that God wants us to be staying away from. We need to know the dangers that we're going to face, and that's going to come from God's word. The psalmist here in this verse says that by committing God's word to his heart or his memory, it keeps him from sinning. Have you ever gone up to someone and asked, hey, what kind of things do you like? And you ask them what kind of things that you like because you want to get them some kind of a gift. Why would you do something like that? Well, because you want to get them something that they're going to be pleased with, right? You don't want to give them something that they don't want. Why would we want to give God something he doesn't want? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, well, it's the thought that counts? I've heard that. Somehow people have got it in their minds that God will be pleased with whatever we give him simply just because it's the thought that counts, right? Well, that's not the case, is it? It's the thought that counts is just a nice way of saying I hate it. Do you ever think about that? God hates sin, and he hates ignorance that leads to sin. And if we give him whatever we think we ought to give him instead of coming from God's word, it's not going to work. He will not be pleased. Acts chapter 17, starting verse 30, it says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." There was a time when the ignorance of men was okay with God to a point because the word wasn't readily available to them. But now it is so readily available to every one of us, we were without excuse. We are without excuse. He commands every man everywhere to learn his word, to learn his commandments, and repent. How do we repent of something if we don't know what we're doing wrong? Ignorance of God's will for us is not an excuse for wickedness anymore. Judgment is coming, and we need to study God's word so that we know what he wants of us, and we can repent of those sins and change our will to his will. The next thing that we need to look at, so that we can be equipped and are ready to be equipped and ready and train ourselves, is we need to exercise those things which we have learned. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we learn what God wants of us, we've studied his word, and we've looked into his commandments, and we know what is expected of us. We're not just going to be magically perfect at it, are we? We're not just going to be automatically ready to go out and do all of these things. You know, we talked about basic training. In the military, there is a basic training that all of the recruits go to, and it is basic training that gives them the knowledge of the things that they need before they go into service. Are they good at it yet? No. They have the knowledge. They've been equipped with the things that they need to know. But once they get to their ship or they get to their command and they get to where they're going and where their commands have commanded them to go, training begins. Training begins. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The idea is here is that he practiced those things in which he has learned. That he's equipped, that he's ready to do those things that will produce good works. And as we practice and as we exercise something that we have learned from God's word, we get better at it, don't we? We get better. And at first, we may stumble and we may fail. But guess what? Those are opportunities to learn, to repent, to try harder. And then we add more and more to our learning, and we practice and exercise those things until it becomes easier for us. And it continues on and on and on this way. As we continue to grow and form our learning and exercise those things, we'll be able to handle more and more. And be able to do more and more. And this is the will of God, and is pleasing to him that we do this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness." I want you to realize something. Those things that you find yourself doing day after day after day after day, whether they be good or evil, those are the things you're going to get good at. Those are the things that you're going to excel in. So if you're excelling in things of godliness, you're going to excel in things of godliness. If you're doing things of wickedness, guess what? You're going to excel in things of wickedness. Those things that you exercise are the things that you're going to get good at. And during hard times and easy times, during times of strength and or times of weakness, in times of great sorrow, times of joy, by using the things that we learn from God's word, we're going to become stronger and better equipped to stand up to the attacks that come at us. And it'll allow us to be that living sacrifice that God expects us to be. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Is our reasonable service. I think it's important to mention here, like I said before, we're not always going to be successful. We're not perfect. We're going to mess up from time to time. But as we feel the guilt and as we confess our sin before God, we learn from those things, those mistakes, and we repent. And then the blood of God, of Jesus, will continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we strive to serve Him. The next thing that we need to do in order to be ready is we got to teach others. We've got to be teachers. We've got to teach others the things that we have learned from God's word and realize that, you know, I can't do it by myself. I need the strength of those around me. And we all need to equip and train each other. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, that shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The idea here is that we talk about the things of God all the time. All the time. We use every situation that we find ourselves in as a teaching moment. Maybe to ourselves and maybe to those around us. But we take advantage of that opportunity. This will do two things for us. First, it allows us to teach the future generations about God, about who He is, about what He has done for me, what He's done for you, about what He expects from us. And secondly, doing this makes it near impossible for us to forget it ourselves. If I study something hard enough in order to teach it, then it's a whole lot easier to remember, isn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 says, Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Being forgetful is going to be a whole lot harder when our goal is to go about teaching and preaching God's word, isn't it? You may be thinking, you know what, I understand what you're saying, but you know, I'm not a teacher. I'm not really good at teaching people. God doesn't expect everyone to teach, does He? Well, that may be the way you feel about it, but for us as Christians, it's simply not the truth. We're all to be teaching God's word. Let's look at some examples. Parents are to teach children. Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Women are to teach younger women. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and everyone else is supposed to teach anyone who asks." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I think all of these three verses just about includes every one of us, doesn't it? Every single one of us. But we could go on. Elders and deacons, those in leadership roles are supposed to be able to teach their flock. grandparents teaching grandchildren, and we could go on and on. Teaching others the Word of God enables the work of the church to continue on throughout future generations. You know what? When I'm not here, when Barry and Daryl are no longer here, we've got to be ready. When I was studying for this lesson, I thought a lot about Joseph. Joseph was a guy who definitely had it pretty rough. He was thrown into a pit. He was reported to his father by his own brothers that he was dead. He was sold into slavery. He was a servant in Potiphar's house. He was seduced by Potiphar's wife. In all of his troubles, he remained faithful to God. You think that was an accident? Happened by chance? What if when Potiphar's wife came to seduce Joseph, he says, you know, wait a minute. I got to go check on something to make sure I'm going to do this right. Things might have ended up different for him. We've got to be ready, because we're promised that we're going to face temptation. We're promised that we're going to face persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, we're never promised that living a Christian life on this earth is going to be easy or pleasant. In fact, it's promised that it's going to be difficult sometimes. We're going to be tested sometimes. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be seduced and persecuted sometimes. But it is our duty to be ready for that, to be equipped and trained for that. We have to study God's word, train on it, learn from it, and teach it to others, because we need each other to hold each other accountable when we messed up. Because a lot of times I can't see my own faults, and I need somebody to point it out to me. You say, well, Chris, what? You know, all of this stuff is great, and we've heard all of this stuff before, but why is this so important? Why is this readiness so important? Why is this training so important? I want to look at Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. It says, let your loins be girded about you, and your lights burning. There's two things here. In the Roman army, they had a belt that would go around their body, around their waist, so the robe wouldn't flail out and cause them to stumble or trip. It would make them ready to be able to do something that they needed to go and do. And once they were ready and they were girded about, they went and did it. And your light's burning. Let your light so shine before men so they see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. Two things: be ready and get to work. Verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. The importance is we do not know when the Lord will return. And we have to be ready. We have to be found doing those things which please him. I have an example. This is not a very good or an exact example. But when I was a teenager and I was in high school, I had a date. And I was to go pick up my date at a certain time. Now, this is different from what we're talking about here because we do not know when the Lord is going to come. But me and my date had discussed when I was supposed to pick her up. And when that time came, I showed up at the house and I knocked on the door and I said, "Yeah, I'm here to pick up your daughter for our date." And I was told, "You know, she's not ready yet. You can sit and wait probably another 30 minutes or so, and or you know, you could just go and come back later. You know, another 30 minutes or so, she'll be ready." I opted to just leave and come back in a little bit, if you're wondering. But the idea is to be ready, isn't it, for the Lord to come back. My date knew when I was going to show up and wasn't ready. Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. So the U.S. Navy, we had watches, and I'm sure those of y'all who are in the Navy or in any military service know about watch. Watch went around the clock, 24 hours a day, is normally served in four-hour periods of time, and in the Roman army, they had watches posted in the night. And those watches consisted of 3 hours each. The first started at 6 and went till about 9. The second from 9 to midnight. The third from midnight to 3. And the fourth from 3 to 6. The first was called the evening. The second, midnight. The third, cock crowing. And the fourth, the morning. So that they would, through the night, be continually ready to sound the alarm when danger came or when there was a specific occurrence that would happen, something important that would happen. And it went around the watch went around the clock that way through the night. You know, the goal of an enemy is to strike when least expected, when it's most convenient for them to strike. And when their enemy, or when the ones that they're attacking least expect it to come. And the goal of the watch is to be ready to sound the alarm when danger the enemy approaches. And an army doesn't come up to their enemy and say, "Well, just to let you know, about 9 o'clock, we'll be here. So you might want to get ready for that because we're going to come and destroy you." They don't give them that opportunity, do they? Verse 39. And this know that the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore ready, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So just like an enemy who's coming to destroy an army, or just like a thief who doesn't let people know when he's going to come steal things from your house, so is the Son of Man. So is Jesus' return to this earth. He's going to come when you least expect it. You don't know when it's going to be, but you got to be ready all the time. Continuing in verse, let's look at Mark chapter 13. Watch ye therefore, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Be ready. Be ready for the dangers that might come. Be ready for the temptations, the suffering, the persecution. Be ready to handle opportunities that we face, whether they be good opportunities or be able to withstand those things which are a danger to us, so that we can also be ready for Jesus to come back. Luke chapter 12, starting verse 35. Let your loins be girt about you and your lights be burning. I'm sorry, I have that in there twice. 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is it that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Pardon me. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that you will make him ruler, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Scary. Very scary. Remember when I was a kid, there were times when my dad's at work and my mom, during the summertime, you know, may have been left at the house, me and my brother by ourselves. And she'd come and she'd say, look, your room's a mess. You need to get that room cleaned up. I've got to go do some chores. I've got to go run some errands. I'm going to run over to Denver City and go to the grocery store. I'm going to go do this and go to the post office, so and so, and then I'll be back. And when I get back, I expect that room to be clean. And you know what I'm thinking? That's going to take a while. That's going to take her a while to get back. So you know what? I can just mess around for a while. And then she comes back quicker than I expect. beaten with many stripes. Yeah, I got some of that. It's the same thing for us, isn't it, as Christians? When we know what God expects of us and we fail to do it, we procrastinate, we don't exercise those things which are godly. And our Lord returns and finds us unprepared. He says we'll be beaten with many stripes. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not to exceed, lest he should exceed, if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes. Then thy brother should seem vile unto thee." I want you to pay attention to the words, "beat him above these with many stripes." The maximum allowed punishment was 40. And the reason was is that God didn't want anyone to be overly punished. So the maximum punishment was 40 stripes, 40 lashings. Now I want to recall what we just read. In Luke chapter 12, verse 47. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." In other words, it's going to be a far worse punishment than you ever knew. It's going to be far worse than you could ever imagine. Where they were only to give 40 stripes, and the rule, that was the rule because they didn't want anybody exceeding that. This is by far going to be worse than 40 stripes. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. We've got to train. We've got to learn God's word. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore. It is readily available to us. We've got to train. We've got to exercise those things which we've learned. And we've got to teach others to do likewise. We need each other. We need to hold each other accountable. So that we're ready to be able to stand when temptation comes, when persecution comes, when suffering comes, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's all of the thoughts that I have for this morning. I hope the things that we've looked at this morning have been a blessing to you and a help to you and an encouragement to you to be ready. Well, the first step to being ready is to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. To trust Him as your Lord and Savior that will save us from our sins. To be baptized in the waters of baptism, to be washed from those sinful things that are in our lives. If you haven't done that this morning, we'd like to assist you in that. And if there's things that you might need the prayers and the assistance of the church, we'd like to invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.